You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
This is the Game of Geeks podcast, your one-stop shop for news and reviews for video, card, and tabletop games, with your hosts CJ, Ryan, and Brendan.
Welcome to the Gamer Geeks podcast, episode number zero, recorded August 21st, 2016. I'm your host, Gamer Geeks podcast, episode number zero, recorded August 21st, 2016.
Whoa.
You say hi, Raul.
Oh, Raul says hi.
You're going to make this really hard to keep this rule, aren't you? And Brendan Munch.
I am here.
And this is our first time doing an actual podcast for video games. We're all gamers, right?
What's a game?
Brendan's here as the test subject. We're going to just drill him into a land of horribleness and debauchery.
So we're going to talk about checkers and Pogs,
yes,
right?
And Monopoly.
I'm 100% ready to play some Solitaire right now.
Ski-free, because this is like the fourth time I've heard the term ski-free in like 10 years today. For some reason, ski-free is all over Reddit and Facebook today. I'm not exactly sure why.
Well, ski-free.
Yeah, it's a Windows 95 game that it's basically that you're skiing and this abominable snowman just occasionally just jumps out and tries to kill you.
Hey, do you want to know a secret?
What?
I was born in 1995.
Yay, we can't do a show without a weird young person.
Damn.
There's actually a reason why I chose three generations of characters for our logo. That was done completely intentionally, by the way, because I'm old and crotchety, so I have 8-bit link. Raul came into his being around the 16-bit era, so that's the reason why I had a Mega Man X, and then Brendan is super young, so that's the reason why I have like a Wii Mario.
Even though the Mario is probably the oldest.
But it's the image.
Yeah, the image.
That three-dimensional graphics.
Yes.
Kinda?
Ish. Although, between this and I'm playing Mega Man 10 on PlayStation Now, I really want to go back and replay all of the Mega Man X games.
Well.
Yeah.
So that might be a thing.
The first I was ever able to get on Mega Man 1, because I bought the collection on the PlayStation.
Yes.
The 1 through 5.
What's a PlayStation?
I hate you
PlayStation
so much.
4. PlayStation 4.
Oh, okay.
I bought the Legacy Collection on Steam because it was on sale for the Capcom weekend sale. Mm. So I bought that. I bought Tales of Celestia because it's only a year old game and it's already down to $15. And all the Tales of games are amazing.
Yeah. Speaking of games, that's what we're doing.
Well, that's the reason kind of this is just the top of the show where we're just going to be talking about things. And that's pretty much what we're going to be doing from here on in. First couple of minutes of the show, we're going to be just talking about just what we're doing, what we're playing. Not a lot of it, not going really into detail. We're also going to, but in the show proper, we're going to be doing news for both video games in general, card and tabletop games in general, and because we are all Blizzard fans, I'm giving Blizzard its own little corner, appropriately called the Blizzard Corner.
Why is that called the Blizzard Corner?
I don't know. We're also going to give proper reviews every week, and even though Raul's copping out on us, all freaking ready.
What?
There's two options. And just to educate those who may not have played older games, and again, because I'm old, I want to do a retro review every week of a game that is at least 10 years old. Mine's going to go back a little bit further, but I should probably talk into my microphone. Instead of talking about the show, we should probably actually just go ahead and do it.
Let's do the show, I guess.
you gotta love it. This is the reason why this is an alpha show, because I don't have everything fully set up yet. Good enough. It said news and that's it. All right, this is the news. Shut up. Why?
Loop.
Quit looping, BLC. I hate you. All right. So we're going to start off with video game news of the week. And this is actually a pretty big week because we had Gamescom go on this week. Those who don't know, Gamescom is basically the German E3. And first things first, PS4 went on. Sony went on and did a great big thing, including giving some details about their big 4.0 system software refresh here. It's going to be giving us some folders, a complete UI refresh, and a whole bunch more stuff, including a share menu that they actually promised us that we were going to get, like, when it was announced on E3.
Like, I love folders.
Yeah, folders are great.
Like, yeah, where I can get to my digital games quickly without having to scroll all the way down. I mean, yeah, it's got the last game you've played, but what if you're playing, I want to play this game as long play, and then, I just want to play Super Meat Boy real quick.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I am a big fan of organization, so it's like, all right, not only that, I'm wondering how deep they're going to get, if we're going to be able to get subfolders. I can dream, like, downloaded games, and then I can have my RPGs, my casual games, in that order, or I might just have to have order for, like, RPGs and casual games.
Whoa, now you're getting crazy. We're talking 4.1 there. You're talking subfolders, man. I don't think they're ready for that.
Yeah, what is this, Windows? yet still no word if we're going to be able to change our screen.
Oh, yeah. I bought my PS4, I actually created a new PSN account because the previous one I had about 5 years.
I should have done that. I didn't think about it at the time when I bought my PS4. But now I'm so far invested in the PS4 ecosystem and everything is already tied to there that I just like, I'm yet.
You'll lose your trophies.
I'll lose all of my trophies and, more importantly, my friends list. Like,
some may beg to differ. Trophies are more important than friends.
I'm totally one of those people, as can be said for the reason why I play through a game once and then pretty much just shelve it. I have platinumed one game, and that was Infamous.
Trophies.
Yeah, I'm such an achievement whore.
So, on these news, CJ, do you just want to take turns?
Yeah. Brandon, what news do you got for us here?
What was that?
Brandon, what news do you got for us? What's your first news article?
Did you see that DICE just released the Battlefield 1 trailer, the gameplay trailer?
Hold on, I'll be right back. I'm going to go take a nap.
Well, we're busy right now.
Yeah, but you're talking about a very boring game that I have absolutely no interest.
Yeah, but, like, the soundtrack sounds good for the trailer at least, right?
Yeah, I'll give you that. I didn't watch it, but I'm just like, yep, this is definitely another Battlefield game.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's a,
go ahead.
It's a World War I Battlefield game.
Oh, yeah, at least we're not killing Nazis again?
Maybe.
We're killing proto-Nazis.
Yes, but it looks nice.
When is zombie mode coming out?
That's Call of Duty.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same problem I have with all the Battlefield, Call of Duty, Black Ops, which is also Call of Duty, but just in a different timeline.
I guess.
I mean, it's more or less the same. It's the same gameplay. Like, the story might change, yes. But
yeah.
The only reason people buy it is that some people don't even go through the campaign. They just go straight into the multiplayer.
It's the Madden syndrome. It's the same game pretty much comes out every single year, but because it comes out every single year, people buy the new game, and that completely destroys the multiplayer on the previous ones. So people actually, because unlike you and I, Raul, some people actually enjoy playing online with their friends. So if all of their friends move forward to the new game, then there's no reason to stay around. So they're just going to keep popping these out every year.
Yeah, because they add like one new feature or a couple new features, but it's basically the same game.
I mean, admittedly, like, I don't mind the Battlefield games. Like, these kind of war games, I enjoy playing the Battlefield games for about, like, 3 days, which is 3 days more than the Call of Duty games. So, I mean, there's that.
But, CJ, they added horses.
Freaking sold.
That changes things.
That does change things. It's almost Skyrim now. What are you talking about?
This isn't your normal shooting game. You got horses.
Tell me when they let me shoot magic guns, and then I'm totally in. I really want, like, a high fantasy, like, steampunk Battlefield game.
Well,
that isn't Dynasty Warriors or you know, Star Wars, which was great for a couple of days and then completely died out, unfortunately.
Oh, that DL-44 blaster.
Yeah, I like on those games, I mean, like free to play has got like a very bad tag on it, right? A stigma to it, right? Just because it's free to play, it's supposed to be crappy and like you got to buy everything.
Correct.
But I mean, we're getting into the Blizzard corner, but Blizzard, I mean, I actually like what they're doing.
Well, I mean, they're just kind of using the same model. It's just slightly different, prettier skin and more geared towards yours and my niches. But let's go ahead. I mean, Battlefield 1. Yay.
World War One,
which admittedly is a bit different. I'll give them that. But
it's fresh. It's new.
Yeah. It does look pretty. It looks very pretty.
It's fresh and new until we get like 10 more World War One games, right?
Yeah, right. This was going to be really good, and then every other game is going to do that for a while. I mean, that's, yeah.
But right. He was number one.
And speaking of number one, let's add three more to that, and we have four. And then what do we have coming up on that there, Raul?
We've got PlayStation 4 Slim leaked on the auction site.
Yay, it's skinny.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the refresh.
Yeah, I mean, we knew this was coming. I mean, after Xbone did it, Xbox One, sorry, don't want to show my bias, hashtag PC Master Race. it looks good.
I mean, it looks like a sandwich with a thinner loaf on top.
Yeah.
Did they go to Apple to get this thing made? It looks like an Apple product.
It kind of does. You're not wrong.
Oh, yeah. I mean, put some white paint on it, and it's like, yeah, that's an Apple.
Yeah, exactly. The box says console has a 500 gig hard drive, so yay.
Didn't the Xbox come out with a terabyte?
It did.
Which was dead on arrival because of the... They said like, oh, here's a new Xbox, but we're working on Project Scorpio for next year.
Yeah, right.
So why do I want to buy an Xbox right now? If the next one's 6 months away.
Have you taken your PS4 apart? I've taken mine apart, and I swapped out the hard drive for a terabyte.
I haven't needed to yet because I got the Destiny one and it came with a terabyte, I think. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but I haven't had an issue yet, and I get a lot of downloaded games for reviews, so like I've not ran into it. But I'm fairly sure it was a terabyte that I got anyway.
Yeah, I think I need to buy this console. It looks so smooth.
But it does.
But this is not the Neo that's probably going to be released.
Yeah, E3 is going to be crazy next year. By the way, that is going to.
Neo will probably come out in September. Go ahead.
This one's just the PlayStation 4 Slim, and then they're coming out with the Neo?
Yes.
The Neo is a separate thing, and then the PS4 Slim is, I guess, just a console refresh.
Huh. I mean, it's supposed to be more geared to VR, but I mean, am I going to have to trade in this and get a Neo if I want to do VR?
I don't know. I hope not, because I mean they've already came out and said that the PlayStation VR is going to work with. I think this is just more so for like 4K. This is the Neo is more so for the cutting edge televisions, because it's gonna have 4K output.
But 4K video output. I mean, like movies and TV shows.
Correct.
Not game 4K. Because
they could come out with 4K games, just as long as the game auto programs. If it's on a Neo, then show it in the Neo 4K spectrum. If it's on a regular, then it just quote unquote downgrades it to 1080p.
Oh no!
Yeah, right. All right. So moving on that one. Then more coming out of Gamescom. Hey guys, guess what? Konami is not done with Metal Gear Solid yet.
Why?
And the new game doesn't even have Snake in it, guys.
But at least they're not trying to sell you Snake. And then,
this is a random extra dog. Diamond Dog from right after Ground Zeroes. Basically, they go into an alternative universe where there's zombies.
Ooh, zombies.
I'm so excited for this game. I will probably end up picking it up, or at least renting it from like Redbox or something, because I don't think I can legitimately buy this game and tell Konami that I want more of this, because I honestly.
Oh, they're gonna give you more.
Yeah. They're gonna squeeze the Metal Gear name for a while.
At least it's not more pachinko machines.
Oh.
Though we do know that Kojima's next work will probably be more crazy than anything.
Oh yeah, like now that he doesn't have Konami holding the reins anymore, he's like, yep, I'm just gonna make all of the insane.
Well, he has no one to tell him no.
Which is a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, look at what Inafune has been putting out with his stuff now that he's not restricted on things. So, I mean...
Yeah, you've already heard my rant on Mighty No. 9.
Yeah, I can't lie. I'm still kind of wanting to buy it. It's on sale right now. I kind of want to.
When did it come out? June? And it's on sale already?
That's yeah. No, it's not. And the main thing is I'm just waiting for a patch on it. If they just fix the graphics issue, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah,
were telling me that it has slowdown. I mean, I could deal with the rest of that crap just fine, but like if I'm playing and then all of a sudden I go down to like 2 frames per second, no.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
If a game's on sale, they're probably not going to be patching that for a while, because I don't think they're going to be making their money off of it if it went on sale that quick.
That makes me worry about Bloodstained, successor to... Castlevania.
Yeah. That's a Xbox One exclusive, though, isn't it?
Is it? I thought it was on...
I could be thinking of...
Oh, no, you're thinking about ReCore.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's an Xbox exclusive from Kenji Inafune, but he's game-backed by Microsoft.
Oh, okay.
As well so, as...
He has reins on that one, at least.
Yeah. And then you've got Psychonauts 2 coming out to the PS4.
I'll believe that when I see that. That game has been rumored and in production hell for the last, like, 6 years.
Yeah. Production hell.
Yeah, I mean, they had that Fig fundraiser.
Yeah, good for them.
They raised, like, $2-3 million, but I think all that was just to tell Sony, hey, we have enough people here that'll buy the game.
Slow clap.
Right.
Yeah, E3, I mean, I gotta see something of Psychonauts 2, or at least the VR game.
Oh god, Psychonauts 2. That sounds horrifyingly, disgustingly throwable. Alright, speaking of, we had another demo come out. What did we have come out there?
What was that? That was that the Star Citizen gameplay that was just released?
Yeah.
It looked like what No Man's Sky wanted to be?
Yeah, I mean... I like it. It's very nice. It's very pretty. But I have kind of been bitten by No Man's Sky already. And not that I don't love it, but it's like, yeah.
Space.
Space. Exactly.
Space is the new zombies.
Basically. I mean, words are wind. I mean, I'm enjoying No Man's Sky, but words are wind at this point. Like, I'm just kind of, I kind of got bit with the... And I guess I just really want multiplayer in No Man's Sky.
It needs to happen.
Like, it is desperately needing that. And I think if that happened, then I'd be completely okay with it, because they did the patch and fixed a bunch of the frame rate issues. And since they've done that, like, it's working out pretty well.
Yep. Yeah. But Star Citizen has Mark Hamill in it,
which is a good thing. So, I mean, you got that. Wing Commander, I mean, yeah, that's the only thing he's known for, right, is Wing Commander?
Wing Commander, yeah.
That's it? That's that guy from Wing Commander?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's...
Just making sure.
I think his career died after that.
I think so. I mean, I think he's just become a joke and a laughingstock.
Something about laughing. There's a lot of laughing going on, but...
I mean, if only he could walk. I mean, I've heard that he's lost the ability to walk.
Oh, no way. He lost the ability in his... walking ability?
Yeah, I mean, now he just kind of floats in the sky.
That's better than walking, though.
Admittedly, but yeah, I mean, if he could, I don't know, walk on the sky? All right, we're going to move into the Blizzard corner.
Okay, yeah, that works.
All right, the Blizzard corner. Hey, Overwatch is a thing, and they did a big developer chat on it, talking about Season 2 and the lessons learned from... Season 1, and some of the things that they liked and got, and some of the things that they didn't, because Season 1 did have a lot of hiccups, to the point where they had to completely, like, crush the legs of one of the strategy people were using to be able to not have it just be a mess.
Yeah, like, pick all Bastions in overtime, just to keep them from the timer?
Yes.
It was a legitimate strategy, but oh man.
Yeah, I'm just gonna let you know, I have probably played like one game of Overwatch since release.
Wow.
I just haven't been able to play it.
I love Overwatch. Some of the things that they're doing with Season 2, the skill ranking is completely getting redone. Right now they go on a 1 to 100 kind of thing, where obviously, you know, you start up at lower numbers, go to higher numbers. And so they took that and they're like, you know, it doesn't really seem that great, so next season it's going to be 1 to 5,000.
Holy crap.
That's a big gap.
Yeah. The issue that people are having right now is because if you don't perform, like, optimally, you go down, like, point numbers. Like, you could be, like, 36.2, and that drives some people crazy. So this one, they're completely eliminating that, and they're allowing only whole numbers. And also, when you have increases, it feels like you're actually earning something.
More
like,
better?
At least Blizzard is learning from everything. They're learning from gameplay, from how they listen to their community, unlike other games that just like, okay, here it is, go.
Exactly.
And they might change it.
Something else they're borrowing from StarCraft, which is a good thing. Their skill rankings are going to be divided up into tiers. Bronze, silver, gold, platinum, blah, 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 blah. But you are going to be more so paired with people of your skill ranking than anything else. If you fall below the number required for a skill ranking, the number will go down to a certain point, but your skill ranking will not. So if you just have a couple bad because your friends left you and now you're solo queuing in competitive play, don't do it. But, you know, you do that and you just kind of get on a bad rash of losses. You're not going to lose your gold status. You'll lose the numbers, but you won't lose your gold status. And rewards will be divvied up based on your ranking.
So, CJ, you're talking about what kids today call a tilt.
Yes. That's the word I'm
A tilt. Yes. When you go on a tilt, you won't...
Yes.
Tilted?
That's the word that I was looking for. I'm like, I know there's a word for it, but I can't think of what that word is.
And I remember hearing something that if, say, like, there's some people that just, they play until they get to a certain rank and then they stop. If you don't play for, I think they said 7 days, your rank will suffer.
There is skill decay on that and this as well. They won't let you just get up to, like, gold. And because even though you might be a platinum player or a diamond player, you're going to stay at gold just to grief people. They won't let you do that. If you don't play for a certain amount of time, your skill will decrease, they will suffer, and you will suffer the consequences of doing that if they see you doing that on purpose. They talked about banning strictly from competitive mode.
Well, wouldn't I want my skill to decrease so this way I could just face a bunch of noobs?
If they see you doing that, they will ban you from they will remove you from the season. And speaking of removing from the season, Sudden Death is gone.
What?
Yeah, Sudden Death is completely dead.
So how are they in competitive only or in
In competitive only, yes. You're for the most part your standard play is not going to be touched a lot by the Sudden Death is dead. The big issue was the coin toss that happened sometimes, and this was frustrating in some of the games. It's like, oh yeah, we're doing so great, all right, yeah, we had a bad round, oh crap, it's the coin toss, and we lost, even though we were obviously better than the The only way a tie will be able to happen is on a payload map if nobody touches the payload at all.
Okay, so now they're going to go by how far the payload went.
Yes. Competitive points are being multiplied by 10 as well because the skill rankings are being multiplied by 10. So, yeah, but everything's going to cost 10 times more as well. So your gold weapons are going to cost more, everything.
So pretty much, I mean, talking about like the payload, if you get halfway to the first checkpoint and the other guys get like a quarter of the way, you win.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to go by point. Those points are not just going to be that you get between rounds are not just going to be for show, which they kind of are right now. So, like, in each of the competitive maps, you get each of the checkpoints counts as a... Those will actually be pulled into consideration.
Oh, Huh.
All right. Going into another Blizzard title, Hearthstone. This week's brawl was insane. You fight Nefarian?
Yes.
And like, nice. Yep. I jumped in there and I'm like, okay, well, it's just going to be another one like Mechatork.
Yeah.
But no, this thing is solid. Yeah. And like, they give you a random class, some cards, but they throw in some boss battle cards in there as well.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm like in there and I'm like, wait, what do you mean he's switching my hand with the other?
Yeah, right? It's like, wait a second.
And it was a priest and a shaman, so I'm like, okay, this card I wouldn't normally play because it would hear them, but because we need to stay in this together,
yep.
I play it.
Right on there. If it defeats either one of you, you both lose.
And there's one card, I can't remember what the name of it is, like, every time it gets targeted, that player draws a card, so I kept on giving it the +1/+1bananas that you get from from the gorilla, and I kept drawing cards, refilling my hand, and then I like, okay, this is what I'm going to do next turn, and then he swaps.
Ah, stop it!
No.
And what's great is, like, the longer the fight goes, the harder he hits, because he starts at zero, and it slowly goes up by five.
Yeah, like, and at the end, it's like, all right, hold on. I eventually was able to swing, like, I had an insanely powerful creature on the field by the end of everything. But yeah, it was like my teammate was basically at the, it was kind of like, all right, cool. I'm just gonna keep buffing your one creature. And by the end of it, I had like a 32-32 creature.
Damn. And he starts at 200 health, zero attack.
Yep.
Oh man.
All right. Yeah. So I like the idea of covering the brawls at least over here.
Or we could actually record the brawls.
Yeah. True. Brawls. There's going to be a lot more. I mean, if you go onto the YouTube channel that we have right now, there's plenty of stuff on Gamer Geeks. I'm doing weekly playthroughs of stuff. But yeah, we're going to be doing more and more stuff posted up there.
Okay.
Speaking of stuff being posted up there, there's a thing coming out here in a couple of days that will have some.
World of Warcraft Legion release, 9 more days.
Yay.
I've waited way too long.
Yay.
Just 9 more days. But yeah, I'm really enjoying the pre-stuff. The Legion Invasion, the Travel to Kara, and then the new Dalaran.
Is Karazhan back?
You do a little quest in Karazhan.
Oh. I have not played. I got out of WoW like 2 weeks into. I bought the other one, WoD, and then I played that for like a week. And
yeah, the garrisons turned me off after I got my first level 100. I'm like, I don't want to do that a second time.
Yeah, and I'm an altaholic, so like, all right, cool. I got my Death Knight up there, and that sucks.
Yeah. But now yeah. Legion, so much new stuff. It's looking like it might be Wrath. I hope it's Wrath because I loved Wrath. Wrath of the Lich King.
Wrath was my favorite expansion. I'm gonna hold off on it. If I get enough people saying that it's good, I might buy the expansion.
Well, I probably won't buy the expansion in October or the end of September because I've got a little trip that I gotta go on that week.
Blizzard usually does some Black Friday sales, and if it's good enough, I'll think about it.
Yeah, I bought it on announce. So,
well, that's fair. So did my roommate. So that's cool. I haven't played WoW in a while. MMOs in general, like my MMO of choice is Final Fantasy XIV right now, and I don't play that.
Yeah.
So we're gonna move on into board tabletop and card game news.
All right, I'll see you guys in a little bit.
Oh, stop. Gen Con, which is probably the biggest board card game convention, was a couple of weeks ago, and there's been quite a bit coming out of it. In the show notes, you're going to have a post showing off some of the newest board games from Gen Con this year. The Last Friday, which is a horror type game. Pandemic is releasing a Cthulhu expansion. So, ooh. I mean, that's
good. Oh, I've got a story to talk about Pandemic. 2 weeks ago, I played it for the first time.
Yeah.
We set everything up, and it's four of us playing. We didn't even get... We died on turn three.
Yeah, you can get that. If you get really bad draws, and if you just get nailed with the...
The pandemic cards? The outbreak?
Yeah.
I'll Third player didn't even get. Fourth player didn't even get to.
Jeez. Star Trek is coming out with a new board game, Ascendancy, where you kind of just handle entire fleet by yourself. Ticket to Ride is getting Rails and Sails expansion.
Like that's another game that I want to try.
The Networks, which I should be getting a review copy of. It's a card game about building up your own television network, which is really cool.
Oh, that sounds good.
It actually, I played it at PAX, and it's a lot of fun. They showed off the new Betrayal House on Haunted Hill expansion there. Potion Explosion, Brendan.
That sounds
inside joke with my D&D players. That is those are the only people that will understand that joke.
I'm renaming my character Potion Explosion.
Star Trek Panic from the people who make the Panic games, your Munchkin Panic and your whatnots. Yeah, you got a whole bunch of new games that came out there. Again, Ars Technica review of that up in the show notes right now.
Oh, let me get my two cents in real quick.
Okay.
Past couple weeks, past 2 weeks, I've been playing a RPG called Iron Kingdom.
Okay.
It's a pen and paper RPG and all that. And it's interesting because it doesn't use probably not everything you will use in me, but it uses D6s. And yeah, I mean,
it's kind of like Dragon Age.
Okay. Yeah, and it's like if you have a boost to a skill, you get a third dice, or if you get another boost, you can end up rolling like 5 or 6 dice. And
which is cool. I like that kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like it's kind of like an industrial not steampunk, but yeah, like an industrial, there's magic, there's mechs, guns, all that stuff, but no phones apparently.
That's too far.
Yeah, apparently. But yeah, like our first real quest in it was like a murder mystery. But yeah, I'm really digging it because it's like my first, not my first, but it's like, real in life is completely different than doing it over Hangout.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right, I haven't played this intro in a while, but I'm gonna use this. I don't remember what it sounds like, so I apologize ahead of time. Oh, okay, that's that one. Good enough. yeah, this is the review segment. Before we get to the review, okay, I should probably do this, and this will be better laid out, and I will make it myself. Before we get into the review segment, we are going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. And we're back. All right, sorry about that, folks. All right, so reviews. I'm going to start because I kind of want to give what we're going out here for. I got into the beta of, and I played this at PAX, but I finally got into the beta and I was also into the alpha, but I could talk about it now. Elder Scrolls Legend. They're a totally unique card game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah, no, it doesn't reference or kind of take any references from any other card games at all. That being said, it takes what it kind of references and polishes them, and obviously adds the Elder Scrolls flavor onto it. So you have the races, you have the monsters, you have that kind of thing. So if you're into the Elder Scrolls, Skyrim, Morrowind, etc. lore, then this works out really well. It takes some of the things that you get off of Hearthstone and kind of merges them into almost Magic the Gathering territory, and then puts an extra split onto them as well from there. It does a really good job of explaining what each of the cards do. It actually gives you a storyline for free, which is really, 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 really cool.
What?
Right? and the storyline is actually not stupid. Like, it is a straight up legit storyline, and like the choices that you make during the storyline can net you free cards. However, if you don't get some of those cards, literally, you will never see them again. You cannot even make them.
I don't like how that sounds. I'm prone to making bad decisions.
Yeah. I mean, it's still in beta right now, so beta is beta. But so it can use a little bit of
polish.
Polish. Try not to say flourish.
You got too much of that Elder Scrolls flavor in your mouth right now.
Yeah. I mean, it does handle like almost identical to Hearthstone, so I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 because, I mean, yeah, I can't judge it too harshly because it is still in beta, but it's actually really, really, it's a really good game, and it has a lot of good stuff going for it, and I can't wait for them to bring out more. The second game I'm going to review is something that I've done on the site a couple of times in the past is what I call a 60-minute review, where I play a game for about an hour, and I give my first impressions of it. This week is Ruby Grim Eclipse, RWBY, the Rooster Teeth animated short. They released a game, and I got it for sale when it was on early access, and I played it. I haven't really played it since it went full, because I wanted to give a first impression of it. And I mean, it's all you want out of the characters from Ruby. I mean, you have your favorite waifus, and it's their same voice actresses, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. Each of the characters, each of the girls plays completely different. It's nice too. You're not just getting different character. Ruby plays a lot different from Weiss, which plays a lot. You know, Ruby is more of the generic hack and slash. Weiss is your longer range magic user. Yang is your straight up beat 'em up, like really strong power. Not so much on the defense. She's your just like brawler. And Blake is your stealth person. But she has a cool whip that she uses, so she's the one I usually pick. it has a really, really weak multiplayer, and the storyline, albeit I didn't get too far into it, it was Dynasty Warriors, but with Ruby characters. And I kind of, like, I'm getting a little worn out on Dynasty Warriors, but with X. So I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. It has a lot of potential, and when I go back and actually do a full review of it, I'll revisit it. But for my 60-minute review, my first impressions, I'm going to give it only a 3 out of 5. It needed some help, but it has a lot of it. Raul, what do you got for us?
Oh, I've got Doom. I picked up the new Doom. Came out, earlier this year? And yeah, I'd never played the original Doom.
What?
Yeah, before my time.
Ugh. I'm like 12 years old, and it's before your time?
Mom, don't pick up the phone! No, my Doom download is stopped!
Okay, our first computer was a Millennium Edition PC from 2001. And I lived in more of a middle of nowhere than where I'm currently at. So, yeah, there wasn't very much access. All right, so I popped this game in, and it's just like, right off the bat, you start out fighting, and it's just you're running at full speed at all times, so there's no sprint.
Good.
You do get a power up for haste, so you double your speed. But what it really does is that you can't go through the game with just one gun. You have to switch up because certain guns do more damage to certain enemies, and yeah. You can try and like brute force your way through some of these encounters. But they just make so much harder. You have to keep moving. If you stay still, you will die.
Okay.
I believe, and I kept forgetting that I had the BFG on me.
Yeah, but I was watching a bunch of Raul's streams. He streamed the entire game on twitch.tv/geekioshow. And I love the, oh, wait, I have the BFG. And like I laughed out loud. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot about it.
Yeah, I shoot it, and it just shoots like a green orb. But the second it hits something, it just cascades to everything near it. And it the story was all right. I mean, it wasn't like anything like groundbreaking story. It was just regular Doom guy killing demons.
And that's kind of what you want out of a Doom game. Yeah.
Yeah. I did notice that there was, well, I only noticed this one area. Have you ever played Doom 3?
Yes.
Okay, you know that security room that you start in where you get your shotgun and all that? That room was actually in this game.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I'm like, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a good. I mean, it had great music when the combat, but it was your generic. You went into combat, fought a couple of mobs. Difficulty depending, like if there's a lot or if there's one really big one, and then you just go on to the next zone, and then you can just. You might encounter one or two more. There's a little bit of platformer in it.
You're so bad at the platformer part of it. It's great to watch.
I got better towards the end. And
practice makes perfect.
Yes. And you can actually jump at ledges, and he picks himself up on ledges.
It was great just watching you do the same ledge like six times. I was laughing so hard. I'm playing No Man's Sky and like watching the stream at the same time, and I'm just laughing out loud because just watching him struggle. I died on No Man's Sky because I was laughing so hard, and a weird Tyrannosaurus dragon thing came up and ate me.
At least I'm entertaining one person, right? And yeah, I mean that's it for Doom. I mean, it wasn't anything groundbreaking. It was just like it was a fun game.
Legit. What are you gonna give it?
I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5.
Excellent.
Nothing perfect. I mean, because the story was kind of weak, but yeah.
Generic shooter story.
Yeah.
Kill Fan.
And the next game, which I loved playing it the first time. I still need to finish it. Not finish it, but like. Do it multiple runs because you have to get like the true ending is Undertale. Very simple game, RPG, very reminiscent of Earthbound.
Yes, it is very Earthbound.
But with this game is that you don't have to fight if you don't want to.
You could be a social justice warrior. Hashtag Monster Lives Matter.
But yeah, the combat, you have to figure out how you end the battle without your pacifist. You have to find the pacifist route with every monster, mob thing. Well, they're all monsters. With every monster you encounter, you have to find that, okay, what do I have to do to pacify this monster? And then you run away or you just mercy and you spare them. The great thing is that it's got a very in-depth story that really gets you thinking.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just one of those games. It's not a very long game. I mean, I think I finished it in two sessions, maybe like 4 hours.
Yeah, it is a pretty quick game. I mean, you could take your time on it, but yeah, it's not.
And for Undertale, I give it a 5 out of 5. I mean, because there's still a lot of, well, not a ton of content, but there's still, you get something different every time. And oh my God, the final boss. Oh my God, it's like, You tripped acid like 20 minutes ago and you just and you just peaked right as that boss hit. So it's yeah,
there
it's
is
fun.
A big, there's a big stoner community online for Undertale.
And those are my games.
All right, Brandon, what you got?
So I sat there patiently waiting as I was pre-ordered my game, waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally, No Man's Sky.
Yeah!
It was there in front of me.
With no preload, for some dumb reason.
Very true. Which is why I did a bunch of waiting, and...
PlayStation got a freaking preload.
PlayStation. No, but, like, the game is... There's some stuff there.
There is.
There is quite a bit of stuff there in that game, and I'll never see all of it.
No.
Which slightly depresses me, because I could be seeing the worst part of the game, and I think it was amazing. But there's probably something out there that's a million times better than what I'm seeing right now.
I mean, everybody has to find Melanosaurus Rex.
I really want to see a Melanosaurus Rex.
Right, me too! Either that or the Swagosaurus Rex. I want to see that one either. I want to see either one of those two.
I just want to see crazy dinosaurs that I don't know why they exist.
I got the one that killed me while I was watching Raoul play Doom.
Like, that game has so much stuff going on in it, but those space pirates.
Yeah, but space pirates, man.
Space pirates keep on killing me.
They're the worst.
You know how many times I've died to space pirates? Too many times.
So many times. So bad.
I gotta stop carrying very expensive materials on me.
But even if you don't, they still see it as an expensive material, and they'll just kill you just because.
I just think they like killing.
Yeah, I mean, they are pirates.
What
I don't recommend is going to a distress signal and being like, okay, so there's a bunch of space pirates fighting a frigate. It's like, okay, cool. All right, certainly the frigate will help me. Like, they'll be my friend.
Nuh-uh.
Space pirates, nope. The frigate turns on you because you fired near it.
And those frigates you don't want to mess with. I came out of hyperspace my first time jumping out of hyperspace, and there were some big ships there, and I was like, let's fire on these big ships and see what happens. They have a lot of power.
Also, another thing that has a lot of power, it's something that I learned the hard way. So, you know those ships that just kind of come in and out of the planets? If you are in your ship and you chase one down and shoot one, Sentinels have spaceships too, and they are, like, nigh indestructible.
I don't like those Sentinel dog things.
No, these are stronger than the dog things, because they're in space and you can't run away from them because they're faster than you.
I don't like how that sounds.
It's horrifying. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to Grand Theft Auto this ship. Cool. Yeah. Sentinels.
No, you're not.
Sentinel ship detected. I'm like, the Sentinels have ships?
So, like, in No Man's Sky, can you just... I mean, it's a whole freaking planet, right?
It's a whole universe. You're in your own galaxy.
No, no, but, like, when you land on a planet, it's just not like a 6 mile by 6 mile. You could go walking and get on the other side of the world.
I read a story about a guy who spent 35 hours on his home planet that you land on.
And you cannot walk all the way around these planets.
No.
It will take you multiple years.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You need your ship.
Okay, but, like, you could stay on your home planet. You could stay on the landed planet and probably get everything... Yeah. Not get everything you need, but...
No, I mean, he has a full... The guy who has read this about, he has a full exosuit inventory. He's fully fluent in Gek, which is one of the alien races. He's never left his home planet, but each planet is procedurally generated. So, you're never gonna... Nobody's gonna have the same planet twice. It's kind of the reason why you don't have anybody... Why you don't see anybody, even though you may have discoveries by the other people. Sorry, we're kind of overriding Brendan's review here. Sorry.
Oh, I love it.
We're helping Brendan do his review. This is what happens when you have professional podcasters, quote-unquote professional podcasters.
Where?
And they have been doing this thing for 5 years. It's close to a professional as I can get.
But No Man's Sky does need that multiplayer. I want to be able to meet up with my friends and do things.
Space pirate crew with your friends.
That's just what I want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I want to create a fleet with my friends and just go and start taking out, like, either do things, exploring things, or, like, go with my bad friends and just start taking over frigates and destroying things.
Well, I just want to know what those frigates are carrying.
Right? I mean, they took, like, 8 pirates to bring a frigate down to, like, 25%. Like, there's no way that I can do that, but if I had 8 of my friends, I'm probably... Yeah, what are they carrying that is so important?
It's probably just a whole bunch of carbon.
Yeah, you get like 1,000 carbon. It just fills up all of your inventories.
Yeah. The thing with No Man's Sky and others like open world games is that there's no story in it. Whoa.
No, but it kind of does that. What? You're not. Don't lie.
I am too.
Don't lie. literally nothing has changed. The thing is with No Man's Sky, yeah, there's a very loose storyline, but it is super loose, and, like...
But you gotta follow the path of the Atlas.
That's what I'm doing. I'm one jump away from the Atlas interference path. I haven't got to there yet, because I ran out of materials. And then I found Dagobah, which was the worst planet in all of creation. I got stranded there for an hour and a half. I'm just like, let me live and get back to my ship. I will leave this planet, never return.
Another problem I'm having is inventory space.
Yes.
But I'm going to give the game a solid 4 out of 5 right now.
Yeah.
Like, if they add multiplayer, it's going to be off the chart. The game is amazing. Transitioning from space to landing on a planet, like, with no load screens. I haven't seen a load screen, and there is none.
Except for the pretty long intro screen, yeah, that's the only thing.
But for what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. You're generating a universe every time you load into that game. So a little bit of a load screen up top, I can deal with.
Yep. I'm going to kick up this game.
Oh yeah. It's absolutely worth the money. Like, but you will not want to play anything else, because I'm playing something else. I'm just like, I would rather just be playing No Man's Sky right now.
Yeah, but I mean, a game like No Man's Sky where you're just... you're playing, but you're just, I mean...
It is an exploration game.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, there's the same reason why I don't play those types of games. Like, Minecraft, I've sunk 6 hours into my Minecraft in one city.
Yeah, no, this is one of the, like, I stream my No Man's Sky on purpose. Because if I don't, I'm never going to stop playing it. Because with me streaming, I'm looking at myself playing it, and I'm listening to myself, and I always have to be talking, and eventually I'm just tired of talking. And when I'm tired of talking, I shut off the game.
But it's so much better than Minecraft, because you can find things. Like, you turn a corner, and you see some kind of animal that you never even dreamed of seeing, and you scan it, and you're the one that gets to name that animal. Like, yep. It makes you feel like you're, like, a serious explorer from, like you're finding brand new things that nobody's ever seen before.
Absolutely.
And you don't need PSN for it, right?
I don't think so if you're doing it before. I don't think you need PSN for it, or PS Plus.
I'd double check on that one.
Yeah, I am fairly sure you don't need PS Plus. I think it's online. I know it's online only, but I don't think you need PS Plus. But get it for PC, Raul, because eventually they're going to come out with a multiplayer patch, and we want to be able to play together.
I would have to spend about $400 because I need a new video card to play it.
You just put it on low. You'll be fine. They improve the graphics.
Yeah. But
Melonsaurus Rex is always going to look like Melonsaurus Rex, regardless if you're on full or low graphics.
I read something earlier today that they're going to start introducing base building into the game in the next update.
Don't tell me that! I will never stop!
That's going to change things for me. I love building things.
Yeah, so if you build a place on a planet that you discover, where you discover all the planets, do you have like a quick select like where you can just like warp back to that planet?
They will have to give that because currently, like, you have a record of the planets that you've gone to, so you can backtrack to it, but currently you have to farm all your mats and hyper jump back to you.
Okay, yes. But it doesn't have, like, a locator.
No, you have to kind of guess it out. Which, I mean, what a legitimate explorer would do. This game actually captures the feeling of being a legitimate explorer.
I feel like, it's amazing. You're making me feel like it's a 5 out of 5 right now.
You guys are making me want to get this, but then I'm going to, like, my productivity is going to go down, like, seriously, from lack of sleep.
But, like, contrary to what the internet is telling you, they're working on it. Like, the game was released, yeah, it had some hiccups because it's a indie game of a company that has 5 people employed for it. 5 people
employed for it. And then an entire year.
And they created a game where you generate entire universes for millions of people on their servers, and it had a couple hiccups on release day. 5 people run this company. 5. And Sean Murray, the head of it, is on Twitter all the time talking to people, and has one of the best, most open Twitter followings out there. Yet the internet hates him for some reason because it's the internet. But they're putting the love into it that it kind of needs. But what else you got to review?
I reviewed that Fallout Shelter game after I played it a while ago, but then they just released a new update for it.
Yay.
Oh, probably a while ago. But that game has significantly gotten better since the last time I played it.
Oh, don't tell me that. I want to go back. I spent, I think, like a good month on that game.
I spent money on that. I have a problem. I just need somebody to tell me I have a problem. I realize I have a problem.
You don't have a problem.
I do have a problem. And I realize that, but I'm not at that point yet where I want that problem to take over.
You're not at that point where you need a intervention.
Nope, not yet. Nope. I've spent way too much on it, but the game is so fun. And now you can actually explore out into the wasteland with your
peoples.
Your peoples, and it is such a good game. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
All right. So we're going to do a quick retro review here after a quick word, another quick word from our sponsors. All right, and we are back for our retro review. By the way, if you don't want to hear ads, join us live Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern over at geek-io.net/live.
That's 8 p.m. Central.
Real people time, it's 9 p.m. Eastern. So it's 6 p.m. Pacific. There, we're going to cover all the bases. All right, so I'm going to take the first pick to kind of, again, show what this is going to be going forward. I picked the easiest game for me to review is my favorite game of all time, Shining Force, for the Sega Genesis, released in North America in 1993. It is a strategy Japanese role-playing game. I picked this game, again, because it's literally my favorite game of all. And I wanted our first review to be something for you to look forward to, something to kind of let you shine lights on older games that are great. I first discovered this game on this long-forgotten relic called the Sega Channel that existed back in the 90s. For those who don't know what that was something sold to you from your cable company that you plugged the coaxial cable into and downloaded and streamed Sega games on your Genesis from your cable company. It was the greatest thing ever.
Mr. CJ, what's a Sega?
Oh, yeah, Sega Genesis. You know that thing that came around the time like the N64 came out that was the Sega Dreamcast? Yeah, it was that. It was like the last successful thing that Sega brought out as a hardware.
Okay.
I've beaten this game more times than I care to count. The gameplay for this is your benchmark for your strategy RPGs, your Final Fantasy Tactics, and your like of that kind of thing. That it's really upped only by its sequels, and the only game that does this kind of game better than these is Final Fantasy Tactics. This begins the Shining series, which actually has a coherent storyline, unlike Final Fantasy and stuff like that. The first game is headed by your silent protagonist, because everybody before, like, PlayStation 2 era RPGs with your silent protagonist named Max, destined to save the world from the Dark Dragon. During this adventure, he meets like 40, I think, people that you can help that help battle with you. You got bird people, cat people, a werewolf, a ninja. Like, it's really cool. As to be expected, the frame rate of the and speed of the game is slow even for 16 bits. Even during the year that it came out, this is the same year that Sonic CD came out and Mega Man X1 came out. So even for that, even for 1993, it was merely okay for graphics and sound-wise. And even replaying it tried replaying it on Thursday, but my computer decided to say no. It still suffers. The main drawing point of this game is the storyline, which is actually very full, and like you have to think through this game. You can't just brute force your way through. You have to think, you know, okay, this enemy can move to this point, that boss can kill one of my people in one hit, but if I don't give him that opportunity, if I surround him and start blasting him with my magic characters, then, you know, I actually stand a chance again. If I don't, he's just going to wipe the floor with me, and you have to protect your protagonist, because if you don't, you'll lose. Game over if your main dies. It's not as brutal as Fire Emblem in any stretch of the measure, because you can revive your people. But it's not as forgiving as Final Fantasy Tactics, where they come back and you actually have to go to by paying. So, I mean, if you like Final Fantasy Tactics, I mean, Shining Force is definitely worth playing. Admittedly, it is the weakest of the... I have not played Shining Force 3 because I've not been able to get my hands on another long-forgotten relic called a Sega Saturn. and it's never been been ported for some dumb reason. But I played it on Steam. Steam has a Sega Genesis collection right now that gives you a game for free. So you have a metric crap ton of gear that you can buy, and it has a really, really cool base, and it's completely legitimate, unlike other emulators out there. Don't do emulator support. The
PS. Back to the day played a game called Dragon. I don't know if anyone.
I've heard of it. I think I ever played.
Don't they do that through the fire and the flames? Isn't that Dragon Force?
All right, what's next?
All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. We're a little bit over an hour, so let's go ahead and wrap this up. You can reach us via email at geekioshow@gmail.com. Go ahead and put GamerGeeks in the subject line if you want to give us a review, anything like that. Send us an MP3, and we will play it on the show. Make sure it is at least... under 60 seconds. Anything else? And give us a TLDR. Facebook and Twitter are both /geekioshow, and you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. You can support this show and all of the shows on our network at Patreon, patreon.com/geekio. And you can watch the Gamer Geeks video show Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, where we play a different game in studio every week. And, of course, we'll be right back here Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern, geek-show.net/live and twitch.tv/geekioshow. Anything else before we head out of here, good fellows?
No.
No, I'm good. GG.
All right. Good game, everybody.
Well played.
I should probably have had the outro. the one thing consistent, and I failed at it.
This has been a podcast of the Geek AM Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016. We'll be right back.